Hey everyone, welcome back to the Literacy-Based Speech Therapy Podcast. My name is Ashley.
My name is Kaylin. We are both licensed speech-language pathologists. If you have a love of picture books and want fresh ideas for using them in your therapy sessions, then you are in the right place. Today on our favorites episode, we will be sharing our top early intervention and preschool books, specifically for kids who struggle with joint attention and have difficulty engaging with books. Typically, in our favorites episodes, we will list out the books and we will include the key concepts for each book, but that is something we are not going to address in this specific episode.
So this is going to be a great episode if you are looking to build a solid book library with some solid early intervention and preschool books. I often see, you know, like in Facebook groups, you know, what are your favorite early intervention books or what are your favorite preschool books for new SLPs or maybe just people wanting to build their library. So we are going to provide the Amazon links for all of the books that we share in the show notes if there are some you want to add to your personal library.
So some of these books include Lift the Flap, others are Touch Feel. Some include rhyming or repetitive phrases that are simple and highly engaging for kids. And others are great with using story props, and some are sing-songy or open to the dialogic reading strategies. All of the books we will mention have the perfect opportunity for a responsive wait time. So we are going to go through the books to tell you some specific speech and language concepts you can target with them. I think often we know a book is good, but we just get stuck on reading it through, jumping straight into the typical recall questions. And so remember, we want to really focus on deeper language concepts, and we can do that with our EI and preschool kids. So our first book is Goodnight Gorilla by Peggy Rathman, and this is a personal favorite of mine. I love using it with my kids, but also with my patients, my students. So Goodnight Gorilla is a wordless book, and we provide a deeper summary on our top wordless books episode, which is episode 36. But what we do want to say is that we love this book for this population. When reading this book, I usually change my voice. I love to whisper and say tiptoe, and do the quiet shushing sound while I point to the different animals because they're trying to be quiet as they follow the zookeeper through the zoo into his home. And I like to also just incorporate saying, oh no, and gasp each time the animal is let out of the cage. So changing the way you use your voice, and a lot of times, uh-oh and oh no, grabs the attention of this population.
And that's often a big struggle, is that joint attention with these kids. So this is a great book to interact together with them. The next is like a whole series. So the Little Blue Truck series is another one of our favorites for this population. We did do kind of like a deep dive into all of the Little Blue Truck books. So go back and listen to episode 41 if you want to hear about each one of them very specifically and how to use them. So visually, you get more on the Little Blue Truck series. If you think about the scene concept of a Little Blue Truck book versus a very simple one or two pictures on books like Brown Bear, Brown Bear, or the It's Not My series, where you have like just one animal or one person per page. Think about your book selection. Does your student get distracted and you need to focus on very isolated concepts? Then I would not choose a Little Blue Truck book. I'm choosing Little Blue Truck because there is a scene, and not only with the text, I can point out other things, talk about other concepts going on in the illustrations. So visually, Little Blue Truck, think about that when you're choosing the books. You either want something that's not very targeted or isolated. And I think on the episode with Jenna Rayburn, we discussed this a little bit. This was something she brought up, and it was a kind of an aha moment for me on, oh, that's something I had not thought about, is the different types of visual impact you get from a book. So another book concept is like the Lift a Flap book. So there are many different Lift a Flap books. These are great for encouraging interaction and attention during reading. So we don't want the interactive component of lifting the flap to look underneath. We don't want it to take away from the learning concept. So make sure that the lifting of the flap is not a distraction and the kids aren't going to tear the pages. But this is a great way to get that joint attention, to keep that engagement of a student who needs something to do with their little busy hand or their little busy body. Another specific book that we love is Dear Zoo by Rod Campbell. This is great for those tactile-seeking kids because there is something to touch and feel on every page. Kids will love lifting the flaps to discover the animals that the zoo has sent as a potential pet. So like a monkey, a lion, even an elephant. But will they ever find the perfect fit for their family? This is a great interactive book. You get some repetitive text with this one, and this is great for that turn-taking response of this, the SLP or the teacher or the parent says something, and then the student responds back. And then the next is a series of books, and it's the Where's the? And this was a book that Jenna Rayburn also mentioned to me. It was not a series that I knew about, but she mentioned this for your tactile-seeking kids because the flaps are felt. So it's like, where's the elephant? And it goes through, there's vehicle ones. So if you pick like the vehicle, where's the cement truck? So pick a vehicle book like, where, you know, where's the fire truck? You'll see where the community helper vehicles are in a city. If you pick an animal one, like where's the dog? You'll explore different pet animals that are in the house. So they all have kind of a theme-based concept. So look through them. Don't just look at the cover image. And so these are lift the flap with a felt flap. It's more durable, also soft to touch. So if you have some sensory kids, felt is a great tactile input. And so you also get a great repetition for the word where. So this is the felt flap series by Angela Arrhenius. And this is great for your tactile seeking kids.
Yeah. So in comparison with the Where's the series, where if you pick a vehicle, you will get various vehicles, not just the same one. Or if you pick an animal, you'll get various animals, not the same one. The That's Not My series, that one is by Fiona Watt and Rachel Wells. So these, if you pick a specific vehicle, you will get that vehicle throughout the entire book. If you really know that your child loves fire trucks, if you do the where's the fire truck, you're also going to get other community helper trucks.
That's a great comparison.
But with the That's Not My series, if you're not familiar with this series, it is very repetitive. There's a lot of visual and sound and tactile seeking opportunities. So visually shiny or sound. So like there's bumpy. And so you, whenever my kids feel it, they feel it and they feel the bumps, but it also makes like a scratchy sound. So that's always really fun. If you're going to add a book to your library, I like to pick a vehicle and then a popular animal that a lot of my kids would love. And then sometimes I will do like a fantasy animal. So there's a unicorn and then there's a dinosaur. So That's Not My Train. That's Not My Dinosaur. That's Not My Puppy. There's so many. And there's also some theme-based ones. So there's like Christmassy ones, which are fun. So I like to do a lot of the shaking my head whenever I'm saying that's not mine. And so they can join in on shaking their head. And then again, just the look, see, and touch and feel the different types of adjectives. So it's full of great vocabulary with the adjectives. And a lot of them are repetitive. So it's like they have a bank of adjectives that they use with all the books, but they don't always use every single one. And then you can also target the no and the not differences. So that's not my puppy. Is that my puppy? No, that's not my puppy. So you can also address that concept. Another series is by Melissa and Doug. It's the Polka Dot series. And there are big polka dot books, and then there are smaller polka dot books. So I'm going to specifically be talking about the bigger polka dot books. This is like if you think about bubble wrap and your packages, when you open, you have a lot of bubble wrap and kids love to just go in and pop all the different bubbles. So this is similar to that. There's a sound with the popping and then also that tactile seeking. So like I mentioned, there's the smaller one where you get one creature or vehicle item that has one, maybe two pops per page. Those books are more for labeling. And there's another level, which we're talking about, the bigger books with a fully illustrated scene and a number of pops per page. Personally, I prefer the larger polka dot books because it allows opportunities to visually scan the whole book in a completed scene. So my favorites are Wheels on the Bus, Wild Safari. So you can sing along and explore all the animals you see on the safari. And then another one of my favorites is Old MacDonald, because you can sing the song Old MacDonald and then also pop all the cows, pop all the horses, pop all the dogs and cats on the farm. There are other interactive books with poppers that might be all focused on the belly of an animal, but something to consider is whether or not it will be more of a distraction for your students, as they will probably hyper-focus on just popping. And so the reason I like the polka dot is, again, they scan the whole page to look for all the different pops, and you can use that opportunity to redirect them to the pictures on the book and sing your song. Another book is called Chameleon's Colors by Little Hippo. And this one's super fun and is newer to me. I love it for my tactile and visual seekers. So it's a two-way sequence touch and feel book. And so the jungle animals are playing hide and seek. Can you find the chameleon? And then on each page, kids can move the two-way sequence. So maybe it starts out as yellow and then they move it and it turns to green to bring contrast to the chameleon. And so that's very fun for those visually seeking kids.
So another book we wanted to share, one that you probably know, you may even have this already on your library shelves, but Brown Bear, Brown Bear by Bill Martin Jr. and Eric Carle. These are two classic early intervention board book authors that you probably want to have a lot of their books, but specifically with Brown Bear, Brown Bear. And this even kind of goes back to thinking about the scene. These are very simple, one animal or one person on each page. Some of them have a lift of flap. Actually, Kaylin, we were talking about this the other day because I had all of the Bill Martin and Eric Carle books for my own boys and I used them in therapy. None of mine had lift the flap, but you were saying?
My Brown Bear has a lift the flap option.
And see, I've never had that. So I think that's interesting. And again, it goes to what type of book do you need for specific students? So think about that format. So some are not. The ones that I have are not. They're just a classic board book. So it doesn't have to be lift the flap. You can create one with a piece of Velcro. If your students need that and your book doesn't have it, you can always create a flap, you know, with the use of a piece of Velcro, some cardstock. You can print and laminate characters and then put them on that Velcro for each character. You can put part of the Velcro on the corresponding page and have the child match the animal. So you can make it interactive if you need to for your specific students without having to go out and buy a second type of book. And like we mentioned on a previous episode about books for repetitive text and apraxia, you can use this book as a sing song. So if your students are better engaged when you are doing that sing song type of reading, it may help them attend more. Music can often do that. Another book, which is a personal favorite of mine. So Kaylin, you had Goodnight Gorilla. This is a personal favorite that I read a lot with my two boys when they were little. I Went Walking, and this is by Sue Williams. So this book is repetitive in nature, lots of turn-taking activities or responsive opportunities in this book. But this is a great one where little girl goes walking and she sees lots of different animals. So this is a great for turn-taking responses if your kids need that engagement. Another series we wanted to share is called the Indestructible series. And so these are indestructible books. And somehow some manufacturer has figured out a way to make book pages not tear, and they are literally indestructible. And so you can't even wash them. They're great for kids who might be too rough with books or who might drool on a book and you need to wipe them down after every student. Some of them don't have words, and then some of them are based on songs that you can sing and, you know, read to them. For this specific series, you're going to want to investigate each one to determine because there are a lot of variation in this series, you need to kind of look through each one to determine if it's a good fit for your kids. But I've seen them at Barnes and Noble even. So, or, you know, you can look on YouTube if you want to like look through all of the pages first.
And they really are legit and indestructible. I have them personally, and it's insane how they won't rip and you can wash them. It's crazy. So another two books that I'm going to mention, The Napping House by Audrey Woods and then The Fleas Sneeze by Lynn Downey. Both of those books are repetitive and kind of build on each other and are great for using story props. So you can purchase story props with a lot of books if they are available, but you could also just create your own images or copy and cut out the characters, tape these on blocks, and then you can stack the blocks as you tell the story. So if you can envision the napping house as each character lays on top of the other character, stack them. And then whenever the flea bites, then have your students knock them over, which is super fun, or take one off one at a time. Both are super surprising to the kids at the end. So they're really fun. And then the flea in The Flea Sneeze has a big achoo, which we all know our kids love to copy the sound achoo and see the chaos that happens afterwards. And then as Ashley mentioned, music can be really helpful in engaging kids and encourage participation with body movement, hand gestures. All of that can really help facilitate engagement, but also connection with the text. So examples for sing-songy type books are Pete the Cat, I Love My White Shoes by Eric Litwin. So you can sing it and you can engage with lots of, oh no, Pete stepped in a pile of blueberries. Another example, Silly Sally by Audrey Wood. So Silly Sally went to town. It's very repetitive in nature, and I don't necessarily have a tune I sing it to, but I do, when I read it, I do sing it in a more sing-songy voice, which can be very engaging. And I change my voice whenever the loon sings a tune, things like that.
Well, you don't have to have a specific tune because, like I've said before,
you sing Pete the Cat wrong.
I was singing Pete the Cat wrong. I made up my own tune before I knew there was a legitimate tune.
But it worked.
So, you know. Just do your own thing.
Do your own thing. If you can't think of a tune, look it up on YouTube or make it up. If you're not very musical, look it up on YouTube. It's super fun. Another book is From Head to Toe by Eric Carle. And this one's super fun because it does encourage body movement that resembles a variety of zoo animals. So you really get to get out of your chair and move your knees and kick your feet like a donkey and different things like that. And kids love that.
I love this one for like a great warm-up book to like get your group started or get your kids started. Get your wiggles out.
And they're learning the action words too, in addition to like different body parts and different animals. And it has that model of turn-taking responses. Can you do it? I can do it. And you can sing that in a sing-songy, rhythmical way if you want to, or you can just read it. But that's just an example.
Another book that we love for this population is Going on a Bear Hunt by Michael Rosen. You can keep the beat. You can do this sing song. You can encourage the gestures. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. This is that population where we have to be dramatic and excited and use a lot of inflection in our voice. So, you know, there are some oh no opportunities for, you know, use of hand gestures, use of body movement.
So we wanted to end on a note of books we don't recommend for using in therapy and even sometimes discourage parents from getting these books that can be very distracting. So the Push the Button for Sound books, they're just not great for therapy. They bring their attention away from the picture and the text to the soundboard, and the sound goes on and on and on. And so if they fixate on pushing the button, there's no way of ending the sound, and it just really does become a distraction. So again, the whole point of all of these books is to get joint attention with the book and to have opportunities for getting them enriching opportunities with books. So As we said, we will link the episodes we mentioned in today's episode in our show links.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. We know you're a busy SLP, so thanks for spending some of your time with us today.
Click the description for this episode on your listening app or go to sweetsouthernspeech.com to access the show notes. We will include any links mentioned.
And to continue the conversation, come hang out with us on Instagram at Literacy-Based Speech Therapy, where we share lots of books to use in your therapy sessions.
We would love to hear your thoughts on what you heard today. Please leave us a review on your listening app. We'll catch you in the next episode.